All right, thank you. So we are all here present for the policy committee, and most of the agenda is the board policies for second reading regarding charter schools. I don't know if we need to go over any of that or if you all have any new questions, but we've kind of hashed these out and voted them through first reading already. So
I did want to talk about one, but I don't, if anybody else, does anybody want to talk about authorizing? Because I want to talk about the next one.
Go for it.
The application one to me is really important. It's kind of the gateway. And so, and I would love to get y'all's feedback on this, but if you look down line 24, where it's review team, originally the school board appointed a review team, and now we've switched that to the superintendent appointing a review team. And I feel like one person or one like central office or just the school board, I think it might be too unilateral. I think we would benefit from having almost more, for lack of better words, bipartisan. And I'm wondering if it would be more ideal to have like the executive team. So it would be the chair and Jason appointing a team versus just one, because I think that speaks for itself.
I'll do it. I am definitely not emotionally committed to being the one appointing them. I'll do a double check with Dane and see if the law requires it.
It looks like too that you appoint them, but then later on it says the superintendent and or designee will make the recommendation to the board, and then we would still vote. We would name the members of the committee at its meeting in January. So the board still approves it. It's just weird.
That's right. My understanding, and I think Dana tweaked the language based on the new law. I think the net results the same.
I think it, and from everything that we kind of went back and forth in a few emails, I don't think we're bound by law to have just superintendent being the appointing the review team. I think it would be nice to have the diversity to have, you know, the chair and Jason appoint that team.
I'll do a double check. I'm open to that.
Okay.
I think that's fine.
That would be the only one, because I feel like, but I know
the
rubric is still there.
The executive committee.
The executive committee, right.
Okay.
That was the only thing I saw there.
So I should mention maybe for the recording that Dana is out sick.
Yes.
And she's planning to listen to, she was going to call in, but she's not doing too well. So she's going to listen to this recording. So Jason's taking the note, and then Dana will learn about it when she listens in. Any other questions on the charter school stuff for second reading? And we'll follow up on that piece for that.
I like that. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Thank you.
All right. No other questions on any of the charter school policies for second reading? Okay. Then we can go on to the policy for agendas, 1.403, which has been brought up as a result of our last board meeting. We've had requests to discuss this one. So.
Now, and since this is up for discussion, are we going to be able to ask the pertinent questions without Dana here kind of feeling what
I think
we can
she wanted
and can't
to
do?
Get the conversation going,
okay.
Like have you guys share your thoughts or what you'd like to see if we need to make any changes, and that way she can come back
with
something.
The policy. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, and really I initiated this based on the events at the meeting, had a couple of requests from board members. And so I'll be happy to answer that. I have a pretty good understanding of our parameters.
Okay.
And so if you all would like me to tell you a little bit about that now to get started, I'll do that. But I've actually pulled the new law up. For years, you weren't required to have public comment. Just this past year, there's a new law that requires public comment.
But we've done it all the time
anyway.
We've done it
for years. The new law specifies, and I'm gonna read the language of it, that yeah. sure I have the exact right.
Is this the public acts?
Public chapter 300 from last year. It says, governing body shall reserve for each public meeting a period for public comment to provide the public with the opportunity to comment on matters that are germane to the items on the agenda for the meeting. And then it actually, and you may remember a month or two ago, Bob was talking about that. It's for voting meetings, right? So, so this committee doesn't vote, so that it's or the work session, so it's for that. But it says
public agenda.
Yeah, the opportunity to comment on matters that are germane to the items on the agenda for the meeting. So our policy has for many, many years actually gone beyond that. So we've got that baseline the state has, and you all have historically chosen to give more. You haven't restricted the topics.
Right.
Dana had actually, when this law went into effect, drafted a policy based on the TSBA recommendations that were restricted to items on the agenda. We historically haven't done that.
But so, the exception are special called meetings.
Well, that's right. Yeah. Special called meetings is related just to those.
Yeah.
But for the general meetings, it's been open. You guys have discretion there. And I've got mixed feelings about it. So part of in that context, I'd like to hear y'all's opinion, because we have historically made that an open venue for whatever issues of the day come up. And it's had its good and bad over the years. But generally speaking, we've created a culture where anybody can come to speak to anything. At the last meeting, someone came and spoke to something that had nothing to do with schoolwork at all.
Well, they weren't even a resident.
Well, so that's right. That's item two that I would like to discuss. We actually have language related to Williamson County residents take priority if we run out of time, you know, those kinds of things. That's in the existing policy. And we do require them to give us their name and their address. We had one person who gave Embassy Suites. It was the address at Embassy Suites. And that was the person who spoke to item, you know, an issue that was totally unrelated to school board work. So the question I raised that I know you all spoke to, it, some of you at the very end of the meeting, was, what do we do when somebody, in essence, abuses the structure?
Well, first of all, the second item you were saying, I think we need to verify addresses.
Yeah.
They need to show ID and verify addresses. I mean, I think that's really important because, you know, verify the address they did put down, that they show the driver's license. I still feel that public comment could be just about anything, because we've had some pretty good people getting up there and talking about things that weren't on the agenda. You know, kind of.
Well, a lot of times a public comment will come, and that will, I mean, sometimes that will drive future.
Mm-hmm.
Future board items. So, I mean, I think that I agree. I mean, it should be something related to. It shouldn't be advertising your business, or I mean, should be somewhat related to something that could become
business.
Before the board, or some kind of business of the schools. Like we could probably come up with some language
not political.
It might be political if it's
related.
If it's related to
county school
something
yeah.
related to the operations or the purview of the
policy.
Of the school system.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember we did we made some changes back when we changed the procedures for we weren't prescriptive in terms of signing up online or anything like that, but. But we did make some changes around that they have to state their name, but they have to provide their address and provide the name of the organization. So they don't have to,
We changed that because there were some folks pushing back over publicly stating it. And
address,
we made the
right.
point that,
right.
okay, you can write it down and not publicly state it.
Right.
We did
but,
that because they were during the...
but it was all still
emotions.
Public domain,
yeah.
right? And so it's discoverable if somebody wants to.
Right, and they know that, so the procedure now is that they do provide their name and address prior to the meeting.
And
so
we do it all online now, right?
Well,
yes.
I mean, via email, right?
Yes.
And so I agree with Sheila. If we want to, from a procedure standpoint, I don't think it needs to be in policy, but from a procedure standpoint, we do need to about verify if the person is a resident or is a, if they're, I mean, because the I think when we say non-residents, I think we'll allow people who do business in the county as well. We treat them as residents, right? So a business owner or
a former student.
We've allowed them, but Williamson County residents and school employees have priority. For example, if they happen to be, I don't know, 40, 50, the chair has discretion to reduce it to 30, and so somebody who is a resident would have Angela would have the discretion to say, I'm choosing the resident, whoever's 31 over, 27, right, because they're a resident.
Right.
I think that's fair. But it actually says, so some of this language could probably be improved, because at the end of line 30, says the board reserves the right to limit the time of any speaker, and the board doesn't actually have the ability, the board chair that would actually have the ability to do that. And so then the chair has the authority to terminate the remarks of any individual who is disruptive or does not adhere to board rules. But so I think that on line 30, that should probably be the board chair or the chair, I guess.
Yeah, I appreciate on line 31, the chair has the authority. We are, I think that was just kind of
happened so quick.
I know, and how often, I think my only concern in reacting too harshly to this is how often, because I've been
it's
on this.
It's a fairly frequent, it's been more frequent since the pandemic, frankly. Yeah.
Because I know that
because there was
August
a lot
meeting.
Of folks that there was a lot of aggressive, disrespectful comments to board members. Yeah,
no, I
yeah,
don't. See, I
yeah.
Don't, I don't think of it that way.
Specifically toward Fiscus,
yeah.
There was an awful lot of people who, one woman in particular, that continued to.
I
go after him at a personal level, right?
Yeah.
It was a neighbor of his that would come in and ridicule his wife as well. And
but it was, but in some ways, it's in the past, but I mean, it was kind of related to.
Well, you were asking how often does it occur,
right?
And so I'm saying it all depends upon what is the hot topic at the time. Now, when we're having contentious rezonings, you can get people that get rather aggressive about that too.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, my opinion about public comments, and I'll go back to Jason's point, not every elected board allows public comments, and I think it's inappropriate to have a meeting of elected officials that you don't have a section where you receive the voice of the citizens, because it really is their one spot, an opportunity to put something on the record.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I don't agree to limiting it to just our agenda. Before I was a school board member, I came to the board to voice a concern about my child who was taken out of class by a police officer without any supporting authority of the school to do that. An SRO came and pulled him out of the class and allowed another police officer of a different organization to interview my son on a one-on-one about a friend of his that wasn't even in the room. So that was my opportunity to bring something, and I had contacted the principal, and nothing had really come back. I had contacted the sheriff, and nothing had come back. So it was my opportunity to escalate what I thought was a violation of my child's rights and to the board. And I got attention at that point. I got calls from the superintendent. I got calls from the principal. I got calls from the sheriff.
Was that when Becky Sharber was here?
No, might have been. I don't think so. No, who was
Johnson?
It was Johnson, right?
And then, okay, I was wondering about the timing.
Because I think you were the attorney. Maybe
I was not, because if it was Johnson, I wasn't here.
Yeah.
But
But my point here
well,
was...
Well, another point, let me add a piece to that. There's a board policy now that stops that from happening.
This stops the SRO yep. from pulling the child. And yep. My son was in high school at Page at yep. the time. Right, but my point with all of this was it was my only opportunity to really lay out what I thought was the fairly egregious act done towards my child to the elected officials. And so I've always been thankful for that opportunity to take it forward.
And I think we're all in agreement with that.
Yeah, so that's my point, is not to just limit it, because had it been limited to just an agenda item, I wouldn't have had any recourse to get the attention.
So it sounds like we all agreed not to limit it to just agenda items, but do we want to put in something that says it's limited to business of the schools, something so that it is relevant to something we could even possibly make an agenda item at
well,
some
but I think what I do think, because what happens on line 31, and I know that is that the chair can, she has the authority to terminate, stop now, you know. And I mean, I know that rests on one person, but I mean, I do feel like this is what we've got is pretty good. I just don't want to get so caught up in this that we limit, you know, our constituents to communicate with the board.
Well, definitely not our constituents, because I don't know. I'm looking at line 28, just the line that says, in the event time remains, the chair may allow non-residents to speak. I wonder if there's a way to reword that so that it more clearly it states that non-residents can sign up to speak on the topic of something related to the schools.
I think not.
But they'll be placed after residents or something.
I'm thinking of allowed, but if non-residents were allowed to speak, I wonder if it's appropriate to limit them to the topic of the
school
to
business.
A topic that's on the agenda potentially, because otherwise, what? I mean, you're kind of opening it up pretty broad for somebody who may have a stake in our schools, but if they're not a resident, it's hard to imagine what that stake could be.
Well, for example, if someone is a non-resident but works here and wants to do the out-of-county...
Well, an employee would be
I like Jen's idea about it being more germane to a school board issue. I'll give an example where we saw doctors from Vanderbilt come to speak about our masking policy. And they were neither residents, nor was the item necessarily on our agenda, but they were coming as community experts to speak to what they thought was a school issue. And so I don't want to take away from somebody who may, well, I'll give you a different example, somebody who may want to come and talk about the need of a particular type of curriculum or a need of a charter school, and maybe they're from out of town wanting to plant that seed.
But shouldn't that be more in a setting of our work session where they can sign up to talk to us?
Well, we don't allow public comments in a work session.
Because
well,
it's not voting.
It would be a public comment, would it? Didn't we have someone to come by to and give us information during a work session one time?
Well, that was the committee. Yeah, they were the committee that was reviewing the charter
books.
Applications and the books. Jason has had staff come give presentations on various topics.
We've had staff, and occasionally we'll have a committee that includes a community member.
Yeah.
I don't remember us scheduling. We've definitely not had public comment at the work session.
No, but like an expert, a community expert, I think would be ideal for a situation like that.
Yeah.
Someone who's trying to help us out with masking situations and things that maybe not need to be in a voting meeting. But it seems like somebody came by a work session one time to try to sell us a software or something.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So we've had salespeople who are totally clueless about the bidding process, right?
Mm-hmm.
Drop in or speak to board, and that's occasionally happened at work sessions and at voting meetings where they present their marketing, and we typically follow up behind and say, here's a link to the state requirements for our purchasing. We'll do an RFP or a or a bid request when the need comes or whatever.
Yeah.
So typically with those, we'll let them know the next day, hey, here's our process, let us put you in touch with our purchasing agent or whatever the issue is.
So I'll throw another point out that as I've thought about this that bothers me is people or organizations that come to speak to us for really in my opinion, to create public spectacle, knowing that the meeting is streamed and taped and potentially can be therefore cut and put online as a clickbait or trending type thing. And so I would be interested in your all's opinion on is that something we want to
limit
and discuss, right? I mean, if you make your point in a professional and courteous way, not in a way that's designed to get you personal attention after the fact, so, or create a situation where you can.
What would be an example of what would they?
I thought the gentleman the other night where he was talking about he came up and he decided he would talk about oral sex in front of us, right? And his example of that I thought was
that? Did I miss that one?
In the last meeting there was a gentleman that came and
Vermont.
Huh?
His name is Vermont.
Yeah. You know, so I felt
oh,
like
he was
I
talking
felt
about
like
the library books.
Yeah, yeah.
But see,
I felt
but
like
tremendous.
I felt,
I mean,
felt
is...
like what he was trying to do was it was a shock event, right? Or it was and again I'll make the I mean use the term public spectacle to where all of a sudden it's an easy.
I don't think there's any way to really because you start getting subjected then. You know, where do you draw that line? And it's going to happen. You just let it happen. I mean, it's just...
Fair enough.
You know, because then you're starting to get subjective. And then that's what's hard. Is
and
where
then
do you draw
become
that
limiting
line?
Of, you know, our constituents. And
yeah, you just hope people are more respectful. But if, you know, that's their thing, then...
And then it goes back to line 31 where the chair can say, you know... I mean, I think we have... This is...
I think your point, right, that the chair has the authority to cut it off and control it. If that's a hard thing
and
to do
here,
in the chair's position, and you've got to be a fairly
well. And we got to make sure. I don't know what that reference is. It's TCA on the board rules, but in that last line, if you're not adhering to board rules, Jason, like what would the chair? What rules would the chair? I should know them because Nancy read them off at the beginning of public comment for a year or so. But I
that particular code section doesn't establish rules, but she applied the board norms
as
the rules. So she would read off some of those. Direct disparagement of individuals and that kind of thing.
But some of that I don't know that I agree that is, for
a board rule.
Yeah, and I think if somebody's up there and they have a problem with a board member, I don't feel that they should have to anonymize it and just say I have a problem with the board member. They should say, you know, Sheila really made me mad when she said this, like, because she does that sometimes. No, I'm just kidding.
Back at you.
I used the one that was least likely to do that, but I've just never had a problem with anybody. I get when it can be personal, and I don't know how you limit it, but I think it's we're public officials, and we kind of open ourselves up to that.
I was getting ready to say that. I mean, when we become elected, we set ourselves up for that.
I'd have more of a problem for somebody getting up there and attacking a citizen, another citizen. But I don't know if you can limit that either. But that's when that's happened in the past, that's made me feel more uncomfortable than somebody going after one of us.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
don't know how to limit it.
But that was, I think that was just very unusual, that one attacking Josh. Yeah. That was unusual. I mean, we've had people get up there and call out a board member, but it's on a specific thing with the school system and everything else. But that was a that was just uncalled for.
But it was a very unusual.
It was very unusual, and I just think it was unfortunate that that happened in the board setting, but I don't really remember anything like that before.
I mean, that doesn't mean it's not going to start happening more frequently.
That's true.
Well, and I'll again, sitting next to Mr. Fiscus, maybe I paid attention to it a little bit more because it was they were
Josh
talking to him.
Josh's seat is the same seat.
You know, right? Yeah. And you're right. Correct.
I wasn't
particular woman that would they would come after his wife. They were making statements about her. And you know, and I think that's kind of inappropriate as well, right?
Was his wife in a police?
His wife was a state official.
She was an
okay.
MD.
That's what I thought.
She was an MD with the health department.
Okay. Yeah. So this was kind of a.
We're able to regulate that, right?
Yeah, I think, Sheila, I think it happens more than you're remembering.
Maybe
I guess.
I mean, it happens, and I just another day, another dollar.
Hey, I know
move on.
This is just policy right now. But have we ever considered putting a metal detector in at the door that the community comes through? Because my back's to that door,
yeah,
and I get the heebie-jeebies a lot.
We have had some security discussions with county government.
Maybe the new facility is going to include
that. But we don't get to go in there.
Well,
yeah. I heard.
Well, the most recent discussion of the new facility, which is just renovating an old building, was the bid came in so high it's not going to happen anytime soon.
Save the money and get a metal detector.
I think that's a request to take to the county commission because they've got the same challenge too.
I mean, it's
so
sad,
I'll re-mention that to the mayor.
Okay.
What they did add was make sure that law enforcement is available. And they actually do that on a daily basis in this building, and that didn't used to be the case.
Yeah.
But I've seen it in so many other jurisdictions where there is a metal detector in meetings. So I'll mention that to
you. I would like to be proactive, for sure, because law enforcement may be here and they may sweep the building. However, when someone wants to strike, law enforcement is there to follow up.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And to clean up, but not to be proactive.
Prevention is better than response.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, and you're on the edge, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
So for this policy, as far as coming up with some kind of actionable items for Dana and Jason to take a look at, I think personally I would suggest that we make some statement in line 29 after, in the event time remains, the chair may allow non-residents to speak on matters pertinent to the board or WCS, something like that. That just, it doesn't have to be on the agenda, but just related to the schools in some capacity. And then I think procedurally, if we can have as part of the check-in, maybe, I mean, we already say they have to come and check in before they can speak. Can we add and present your ID to verify that the address they listed is the correct one? Would that be an okay?
We can do that, and we'll talk about that. I think we did it 2 straight months, and heard some feedback that it felt like a lot, but that was before this event. I will tell you also, I want to explore having somebody else besides Lydia do it. I'm not comfortable putting that.
Could the SROs do it?
It's possible. We can talk to the sheriff's office about that.
That would be
good. So to add on to that, is there a maybe we also have topic of discussion where they've got to identify what did they say that time?
She said board member conduct or something.
Mm-hmm. Board member conduct, yeah.
Okay.
Which would have actually gotten her through to speak, but she would have had to show ID.
It was the false address.
Right.
And it was very apparent after the fact that particular person was an out-of-state resident.
Yeah. And doing it, and I'll make the point, doing it for spectacle.
Those two layers would add enough protection, I think, to have eliminated this scenario anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I remember there was another individual that went and established residency in Virginia somewhere to go speak at a board meeting.
Wow.
During
they
COVID.
Go that far.
So
I think they're going to be
that hard for it.
I know they got a lease and they rented they rented an apartment from someone and showed that.
I mean, you almost earn it.
Well, you can't stop. Again, if we're wanting to have public comment, you can't stop. You're not going to be able to stop abuse of it completely. And I don't know that you throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? And to say, I would suggest too, and maybe Angela, this already happened. You all provided some, I guess, counseling guidance suggestions to Nancy, for instance,
yes.
on how to be a little bit more authoritative in running the meeting, and especially around public comments. Maybe Angela could benefit from that.
That's a good suggestion.
And I just
do a review, just a reminder every time.
Right, and maybe maybe our council can assist her.
Yeah.
And calling point out there too.
To that point, this dates back well before. I think maybe any of you were on the board, maybe, but prior board chairs would anticipate the potentially more volatile meetings. Zoning was typical,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they would make sure that they would read some reminders out to the public. Didn't do it every meeting. It was just when it was quite apparent that there was an argument where, a controversial issue.
Yeah.
So that's worth us preparing and just those reminders.
Mm-hmm.
But to y'all's point, what triggered this was somebody who just faked the residence.
It was clear abuse, I think.
I just want us to be really careful not to, like throw the baby out with the bathwater and
sure.
step into, because again, as Jay said, we're public officials and so.
All right, so thank you, Jen, for making those suggestions. Line 29, work on that.
What is that? What did you have again?
Jay had it down.
After the
board
non-residents
chair
to speak, add something about two issues pertinent to WCS or board matters, something like that.
Yeah.
So it's not limited to agenda items, but it is something relevant to
school issues.
Yes.
And then Jay's was at the board chair.
Yeah,
on 30.
Board chair.
On 30.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to jot that down. Thank you. On 30. The board chair reserves the right?
Yeah.
But you're right, Jay. There's no mechanism.
Yeah, that's the point.
The board chair would have to ask for a vote.
No idea.
On
yeah.
but if the chair had the right, then the chair, I mean, just, and it's and really, I mean, those last two are distinct powers,
yeah.
right? I mean,
yeah.
so the board chair could reserves the right to limit the time of any speaker, so they
mm-hmm.
could cut up any speaker at any time for any reason.
Yeah,
and you could even
I mean, I guess, just if the board chair is going to do that, they better make sure that it's defensible and they're doing it for
that's right.
a non-discriminatory
yeah.
way in a way that right that's.
Yeah.
They
and they're answerable to you all as a board, and they're also answerable to if they do discriminate on the basis of an illegal ground, there could be a potential action there.
Mm-hmm.
Just as an FYI, Jay, you also mentioned that that reference item, the reference number 3 at the bottom of that with board rule, disruptive of board rules, that defines a disruption. It doesn't address board rules. That disruption is... a person commits the offense, it's actually a misdemeanor. A person commits the offense of if, with the intent to prevent or disrupt a lawful meeting, procession, or gathering, the person substantially obstructs or interferes with the meeting, procession, or gathering by physical action or verbal utterance. So that's going to be a law enforcement, the evaluation.
Has that occurred?
There have been times where it could have been. Zoning, again, it seems like zoning's always...
Well, that's always a contentious, and we've had people that have come up with kind of a, almost a threatening comment, and
over where you live.
Similar, I've spent so many years in the military, and I know how to get things done, right,
But this rezoning period that we had, right, went through a lot smoother because of the community. We have the community meetings. Right?
I think it's because we shifted how we approach it. I've had discussions with a number of you guys about this. We made a thoughtful shift from presenting our plan to talking to the community and getting their values before we we gave you a plan.
And you pulled a lot of the contentious stuff off out of it.
Well, over the course of it, right? Yeah. And so you all, over the course of the work session. Now, the reality is, to your point, there's some pieces that probably we're going to have to rezone quicker.
I mean, you can kick the can down.
That's right.
I would like to make sure that I hope that we're all in agreement. There was one email that came and complained about students being given the right to speak, and surely we're all in agreement that students are just have every bit as much, if not more, right to address.
I was very surprised with that email.
If we
was that comment? What was the basis?
They were number 31 or 32, and there were all of these students that were speaking, and that adults should be given the priority over the students. They basically shouldn't have a. I mean, we shouldn't be listening to what these minors have to say anyway.
Gotcha.
If we look at the last two sentences, starting at the end of 30. And how we add the edit, the board chair reserves the right to limit the time of any speaker. And it kind of just is redundant there. We could probably just cross out that first part and just instead of having the chair show, and then just put and or to terminate, just to simplify. So then just cleaning it up, editor.
And then procedurally, we had discussed the two changes of having them mentioning that they'll need to present the ID when they check in and seeing if the sheriffs can maybe take that role.
Yeah, I'll ask the sheriff. And we may include in board policy where we say present address or something, we may include that just so there's clarity. Because the more we can tell our community members what our standards are.
Yeah, because there were some people that showed up that didn't check in and they were so confused about. So they should see it a bunch of places. You need to come and check in and present your ID.
Would it be possible to use like a web form rather than
a simple email,
because you'd be able to distribute the load of kind of checking that stuff.
That's a good point. I have no idea if the sheriff's office would say yes to their folks checking IDs. I have a suspicion he'll say that's not our role.
I'd say it should probably be a.
I just know Lydia's working kind of on last minute things, and we sometimes need her. I don't want her to be sitting at a desk out front waiting for people to come. And that's an administrative thing for me to figure out with our team.
And I think a lot of times we know some of the people, so it's like.
Sometimes it's an easy one, right? We've seen your ID three months in a row.
Yeah, go on in.
Right. So we'll work on that. So I may include that, and I'll probably I'll talk to Dana. We'll probably include some language that specifies check in as well, so we give some clarity to folks, and they can find it.
Sure. But if we do this procedure wise, I think we need to be really clear so that if someone shows up without an ID, I just don't want to in any way limit. Residents to.
We've already are making signs so that people know what door to enter. Because we have had a little issue.
Well, in that example, we did find out that
they came in
the county security had opened up a door for somebody, and they came in and didn't know they needed to check in, and so that did cause confusion. Mm-hmm. So I think the more we communicate those things, the better.
Yeah, if it was a form, the auto response when you submit it could say, "Don't forget, you need to check in and bring your ID."
And I do that.
Okay.
What happens is somebody will send me an email, and once I have all the information that we have currently requested, I send them an email back and say, "This is your confirmation." And I do say, please check in when you arrive.
Mm-hmm.
So my email does always say, please check in when you arrive.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we could put something too on the website, because there are people that are like, "Well, I signed up. You don't have me," and maybe say, "If you sign
up,
look,
you
will."
I've had people who say that.
Yeah.
And go
back and look at the email.
And I keep all the emails.
Yeah. Right. No. I'm not saying that, but if they see it on the website,
It's a reminder. Yeah.
So they see it on the website. I'm not doubting that, but I'm just saying that they'll understand before they sign up that they need to get a confirmation, or you're not signed up.
A redundancy, right? Just it's an extra redundancy.
Yeah, just
we've had. You think about human existence. We've had every imaginable thing. We've had folks say, I signed up, and then they could say, oh, I found it in my outbox, right?
Yeah.
There's all yeah. kinds of things.
Human error.
All kinds of
user
things.
User error, yeah.
So, but I like the basic idea of us adding as many redundancies in those communications that we
so
can.
So our website does say it gives them the time to sign up for each particular meeting. After the district receives your email request to speak and the items listed below, you will receive a confirmation.
Ah, good job,
email.
You already so had it. Okay.
That email must be brought with you to the meeting.
Nice job, Lydia.
So that's been since we started this a little over 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, Dana's pretty thorough when
and pinned to your
this.
Chest, right?
Yeah, like a little kindergartner with permission slip.
That's right.
You can see that I haven't spoken at a school board member meeting for a long time.
And I will tell you, I have a suspicion for those who are coming for the first time to speak, there's some nerves. And
it's
you
it's
right?
an intimidating yeah. thing, and you get emotional about it because
yeah.
you're not coming to speak because you don't have passion about what you're talking about.
That's right.
Exactly.
And you want to be respectful of all that, right? For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Uh-huh. We'll work on that. We'll bring it back to you for a first.
Great.
All right.
Thank you.